Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. Good morning, Internet world. Today, a very, very important, very, very special show for everyone here, my Iranian friends, my Muslim friends, my Christian friends. We're talking about the subject of hope today. And Miss Shelley Singh will be here in just about 25 minutes, and she will teach at length what the Bible says about hope. Hope for your broken lives, hope for your hopeless situation, whether you're facing a job loss, cancer, whatever dark situation has come into your life, please stay around for the next 90 minutes, and I'm going to do my best to communicate hope and freedom to you this morning. Well, very glad that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to join me this morning on The Cross in the Desert. Over the weekend, there were some very important elections in Iran, and let me preface by saying that there is no such thing as a democratic election process in Iran. Let me explain. The Guardian Council must choose the candidates. These candidates must adhere complete obedience to the Islamic system, to the supreme leader. And then in turn, if they pass that test, the voters are told, unless you vote, in essence, you could lose your benefits, you could lose your job, your standing. So there is pressure and coercion upon the voting process in Iran. Over the weekend, there was a voting turnout. It was less than 70%. Many Iranians boycotted the election simply because they do not want to empower the same regime to oppress them and kill them for the next several years. But those that did turn out believed that there was some kind of victory because some of the moderates and the reformists prevailed. But these same group of moderate and reformists, which are led by one man named Rafsanjani, they are responsible for the murder, the assassination of Iranian dissidents. So really nothing has changed. There was a voting for the Assembly of Experts, a committee that is responsible for electing the next Supreme Leader. As you might know, Supreme Leader Khamenei is suffering from, I think, prostate cancer. He's aging. I'm not sure exactly his age, 77, 78, somewhere in that area. But this election, again, is really not any hope or freedom for my Iranian friends. And this morning I had a special message from Prince Reza Pahlavi. Prince Reza Pahlavi, of course, is the son of the former Shah of Iran, and he's also currently the president of the National Council of Iran. I want to read to you this very brief message that he has for Iranians in light of what happened this past weekend. Quote, "My fellow countrymen, you who voted consciously or unconsciously, willingly or unwillingly, hoping to make reformation and achieve your minimum claims, have a heavy responsibility today, which is very important. You are expected not to keep silent from tomorrow on and request the civil rights of every Iranian on your elected representatives in exchange for your votes, which cost a lot. Now, you are bearing the heavy responsibility for being the voice of civil and political activists. The night when a concert is banned, break the banning walls by your voice of objection to respect your votes. When a Rehane is innocently hanged, your votes must rip the ropes of noose. Accompany those who stand on their dignity and cry freedom in front of the tall walls of Evin prison day and night. Break the bars in prisons and snatch the last from the executioners to respect yourself. Bring some news of Saeed to his father and present the good news of Omid's freedom to his mother. Hold a candle in your hand and light up the nights of oppressed mothers. Inquire for the children in a village in Sistan and Balkistan province where all men have been executed, and ask about the plight of schools in the Kurdistan province. Litigate for the high cost of your vote. In the end, I remind you that we are all a nation together, and with the ancient history of a land with precious borders, we have proudly kept alive a great identity named Iran. We will stand together with national will, with the philosophy of national peace, and to achieve national aspirations. Long live Iran, Reza Pahlavi." This is a charge to those that voted consciously or unconsciously, willingly or unwillingly, to stand up against oppression, to stand up against executions, to stand strong together and protest and force those who were elected, if you will, to stand behind them. Of course, we know that the election is a joke, really, in many, many ways, because once again, the Iranian regime is tightening the noose around Iranians' neck. But let's stand in solidarity together for those Iranians fighting for survival behind the Iron Republic of Iran. And let's spur them on to good works, to stand up in the face of adversity and tell the regime, you must be removed. You are illegitimate. You are destroying our country. Prince Reza Pahlavi's message to the Iranian people. This morning we're talking about hope, importance of hope, and what every individual needs in their heart to stay alive. What really is hope? I want to answer that question. Hope, in many ways, is a confident expectation. It's a sure certainty that what God has promised in His Word is true. A confident expectation. To have lost hope is to have lost everything. And so hope has a confident expectation that what God says in His Word, His promises are true, and He will bring them to pass in our lives. I want to take you now to the story of Samira, who had lost all hope, and one day she found true meaning and purpose in Jesus Christ. Here's the story of one Iranian woman's journey to find hope on the cross in the desert.
It was 1979, the year that a million protesters flooded the streets when the Ayatollah Khomeini overthrew the Shah of Iran. He established Islamic law for all citizens. Samira was just a young girl when this happened.
In the beginning, I had a very fun childhood. When I was born, It was during the Shah's time, and soon after was the Islamic Revolution.
Samira's family didn't practice Islam, though, so she rebelled against the strict laws.
We started having clothes restrictions. We couldn't wear certain clothes anymore. Then we had to wear overcoats and jeans and scarves. Then there was color restrictions. You only had to wear dark colors like black, gray, dark navy, brown. And you can imagine it gets very hot in the summer in Iran, and so it was very difficult.
She especially hated the laws that didn't treat boys and girls as equals.
You would go to a swimming pool, the boys could go swimming, but the girls couldn't, because if the government police came by and saw girls in the swimming pool, parents and families would be arrested and taken to jail. Little by little, I felt as a little girl, they took the life out of me, where what used to be fun, going to school used to be fun, playing with my friends used to be fun, all of that changed.
One day, Samira experienced the injustice of being treated as a second-class citizen. Her hair had come out of her head covering, and a female police officer stepped in.
She grabbed me. She starts shaking me. What are you doing? You have hair showing. And she started, going on and on about how what I'm doing is a sin, and what I'm doing is completely inappropriate, and I kind of kicked her as a little kid and ran away so I don't get arrested. As a little kid, I was afraid of being arrested or being thrown in jail because I had some hair showing. But it was very traumatizing for me as a little girl.
She began to associate the strict Islamic laws with God himself.
I remember thinking, if this is God, I want no part of him. Because if God exists, he is just and he's going to be fair. He's not going to make a big difference between a man and a woman.
Her views were challenged, though, when her family moved to the United States. Her younger sister became a Christian, and it wasn't her new religion that Samira noticed. It was the change in her heart.
She became a different person, and when I looked into her eyes, I remember thinking, wow, what a dramatic difference. I thought I was seeing angels. And it was through that I saw power of Christ, and I thought, maybe God exists.
She decided to find out what made such a difference in her sister's life and talked to her pastor.
He came to talk to me, and we sat down, and he shared the Bible with me and the story of Christ and salvation.
She still had questions in her mind, but what she heard one day on a Christian radio program made it all clear.
The radio station was talking about a lady who had tried to do good, who tried to help people, but at the end of the day, she didn't know where she was going because she didn't have God in her life. I thought, when it's time for me to go, I don't know where I'm going.
Samira prayed with the man on the radio.
I went through the prayer with him, the salvation prayer, not realizing what I had done, and I accepted Christ into my heart.
She's amazed at the freedom women have in Christ.
And so when you see Jesus, and how he talks about women in the Bible and how he values women, I just think that just all helped me realize that how God is just and love, no matter what time in history we're talking about.
Today, Samira actively works in the legal system, helping women in the United States escape from the harsh rules of the Islamic lifestyle.
I thank God for the fact that I'm here in the United States. I thank God for the freedom that I have.
Samira knows firsthand that true freedom comes only through Jesus Christ.
We've seen a lot of societies how women are put down, women are treated badly, all because of who they are and what they come from. But when it comes to Jesus, all of that goes away, and we have all the same rights. We all have the same amount of love that we get from God, which is a lot, and we're all one. There's no difference, and I think that's the beauty of Jesus.
That is one of the most powerful testimonies I've ever heard. This young Iranian woman experienced firsthand the oppression, the discrimination against women in Iran. She watched how that women were treated because they showed a little skin or a little hair, and how they were treated as second-class citizens. And then coming to the United States with her family, she saw how Jesus had revolutionized, had transformed her sister's life. And even though she had real questions and doubt about God because of what she had saw in Iran, she could not escape what it had done to her sister. And so she accepts Christ, and what she reads in the Bible revolutionized her. What she read was how Jesus treated women with respect and kindness. And now she knew she had found the truth. Why? You see, the Iranian Revolution changed everything in Iran. The women's rights, the rights of everyone were completely swallowed up by Khomeini. And when Samira encountered Christ in the Bible, she saw someone with real love and compassion, treating women with ultimate respect. Every Iranian needs to follow after Samira and discover the hope, the freedom that is found in Jesus. Well, that's the story of one Iranian woman. I want you to hear the life-changing story of Michelle, one Iranian woman who also found truth and freedom and hope in Christ.
Born and raised in Iran, Michelle Jabari was the seventh of 10 children and the only one in her family with a deep interest in God. Even so, her religion taught her to fear him.
It's like a monster sitting with the stick in his head, and he's waiting for you to move and to do something wrong. There you go, punishment comes. So anything you do out of fear. Even prayer, I was praying because I had to pray.
As a teenager, Michelle became disillusioned with Islam and stopped practicing her religion. At 19, she came to the U.S. for an arranged marriage. She had a son but was mistreated by her husband and left. When her son was a toddler, he became deathly ill. Alone and without money, a job or insurance, Michelle had nowhere to turn except back to her Islamic faith.
I knew he's going to die that day for some reason. Out of desperation, I prepared myself to pray. And I started praying and recite the Quran, basically what I was taught how to pray in Islamic way.
After repeating prayers in Arabic that she didn't understand, Michelle then cried out to God personally in her own language of Farsi.
I called off the God of creation, God of universe who created me. I said, I'm in desperate need. I need you to save my child. I was sitting watching him die. He had a hard time breathing. He had such a fever, high fever. As I was sitting around 5 in the morning, I fell asleep. So I started having a dream. And in the dream, I saw my son is in my arm. He's sick. In the dream, also, he's sick. And in my arm, as I was watching him, I was looking for some place to get help. Anybody, nothing. There was nothing. It was a sandy hill, like you see the desert. And he died in my arm. And when he died, my whole being cried out in Jesus' name, which I never been taught. I never thought about Jesus. So as I cried out to his name, I'm screaming in his name, I saw a man with the long robe, long hair, beautiful old man. He comes behind the sands. He came closer to me, and then he put one of his hand on my shoulder. His other hand, he went like this to my son's face. And as he put his hand to his face, in the dream, my son woke up. He's like, he was okay. He came back to life. And I woke up, and then my son woke up with me. And he wake up, he asked for food, which is he haven't had it for you. Fever was gone. It felt like this kid was, it seemed like this kid never was sick.
Though she had called out to Jesus and witnessed his healing of her son, Michelle knew nothing about Christianity. But when she accepted an invitation to an Iranian church, she began reading the Bible for the first time.
So I get fascinated with Jesus' character. He became my hero. To this day, when I read Jesus and the adulteress, I always cry. Every time I read that story, I cry. It's so amazing. This man's supposed to be a prophet of God, religious man, and yet how he treats the adulteress and knowing how he loves women.
When a friend shared the gospel with her, Michelle was overjoyed.
I said, this is too good to be true. I thought I could be Christian, but I still have to work my way to heaven. to God. I said, how can that possible? So we prayed a lot, and she explained more in deep. And as I said, I was rejoicing. This was too good to be true. I never heard such a thing. So who could reject that? He paid it all, you know, take it.
Since accepting Christ, like Mary Magdalene, Michelle is living a transformed life.
I'm trying to reach out to Muslims because I know where I was before, the darkness. And there's no hope in there. There is depression in that religion. There's no hope. And I know when you come to know the Lord, we're not free from troubles in life, but there is a joy the world cannot give us, and the joy in the Lord. So I know I've been transformed because of the life I'm living and the desires I have to share this God with others, to say, come and taste the loving God.
Another amazing example of how Jesus has transformed the life of an Iranian woman. And Michelle said it best, there was only darkness and despair and no hope until she met Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about in just a few minutes when Shelley Singh comes to teach us. This week, I will finish probably one of the most emotionally draining but incredible books I've ever written this week, and it's called Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. And it's the story of young 19-year-old Rahane Jabari, who was imprisoned, tortured, and hung for defending herself against a rape attack from an intelligence agent in Iran. This book has been such a life-transforming book for me. I have met Rahane's family. I've had the privilege of sharing Christ with them, of encouraging them, of praying for them. And what I want to do this morning, I want to read a short excerpt from the book that has not yet been published, but God willing, it will be by the first week of April. What I'm about to read you is a story you've never heard before. It is not in any of Rahane's prison letters, but it really happened. It was the experience she had one night in about, I think it was the year 2012, just a couple of years before her execution. She had what is best described an angelic visitation by a young Christian girl who came into her prison cell and told her, there are many books to read, but there are some other important books you should read, Rahane. She knew her name. Rahane was astonished. Who is this girl? And as she stood by her bedside, she began to teach her about the love of Christ and what Christ had done by dying on the cross and forgiving her sins. This is an amazing story. It really happened. And it's just a real answer to prayer for all of us who prayed for Rahane to know the Lord. I want to read to you the experience the next morning when Rahane awoke thinking she had a dream. Let's listen. Rahane slowly opened up her eyes and took a deep breath. For the first time in weeks, she felt refreshed, as if a heavy weight had been lifted off of her. She felt alive again, best night's sleep she had experienced in a very long time. Even before she could sit up on her bunk bed, the images of the Christian girl flashed before her mind. Had it been just a dream? Did she really see her? Then Rahane remembered. She pushed her hand underneath her pillow and felt something. Anxious to see exactly what it was, she grabbed it and opened up the palm of her hand. Rahane's eyes grew wide in astonishment. It was the metal cross. It hadn't been a dream. It had been a real experience. Why me? Why this cross? The questions raced through her mind. I must find this girl, Rahane said in a determined tone of voice. Once more, she gazed down at the metal cross in the palm of her hand. Suddenly, she was immersed by feelings of tranquility and peace. The dark clouds of despair seemed to melt away. At that very moment, Rahane felt cleansed. She felt whole again. The feelings of brokenness were gone. They had melted away as she gazed at the tiny metal cross in the palm of her hand. What did it all mean? Rahani pondered within herself. Why did this girl visit me? The brokenness and despair that had tormented her soul seemed to fade away the more that she gazed at the cross. Rahane felt healed for the first time since she had been in prison. This morning she had a mission to find the Christian girl and thank her. This particular story has intrigued me over and over again. When I first met Sholeh and shared with her that I had been praying for Rahane, she just was overcome because she shared this story with Paymaneh, my Iranian Christian friend translator, and as a result, this story is in my book. It's amazing. Our God visits the hopeless. Our God visits those that are broken. Our God knows exactly what's going on in the hearts of people like Rahane who are trapped in prison. And every one of them need hope. And this morning, I have the privilege of introducing a dear friend, Shelley Singh. She's an ex-Sikh turned follower of Yeshua Messiah. She turned to faith by grace 12 years ago. Originally, she was a Canadian native born in Toronto, Canada. But before that, she lived in Punjab, India, and the United States. She grew up teaching Sikhism and is therefore well-versed in the Sikh religion as well as the Punjabi culture. She speaks Hindu, Urdu, Punjabi frequently, and is currently actually learning Hebrew. The Punjabi culture has Indo-Iranian origins and therefore really many similarities with Persian culture, language, as well as some overlap with a few Arabic root words. Now, Shelley also enjoys Sufism and poetry and music. She has origins from Islam, actually, and a focus on love expressed in the Song of Solomon in the Old Testament. This is the story of a girl who was invited by a Jewish Messiah to become free. Free from the spiritual bondage of religion to join with heaven's song. A Song of Solomon romance, which really is the greatest story ever told with her creator, the God of Israel, who spoke life, healing, wholeness into a young woman who was depressed, suicidal, anxious, despite being a healthcare professional and honor student on the outside. She enjoys spreading the message of God's love since she knows how one touch of grace has transformed her entire life. Apart from clinical work, her main passion is ministry. She began her ministry while working full-time when she moved to Los Angeles in 2009. She currently lives in Texas. Her ministry is called Sing with Joy. Her main focus is teaching the Bible from a Hebraic perspective with an emphasis on deliverance and healing and wholeness. That comes from a release of spiritual bondage from all people from all walks of life. She enjoys studying how science and faith confirm each other, as well as particular since she has experienced her own self physical healing in her body. Now, one of the ways you can connect with Shelley is go to her Sing with Joy page. It's right there on Facebook, or go to singwithjoy@gmail.com and Twitter, Shelley Singh Audio, A-U-D, at gmail.com. Shelley is an amazing multicultural lady, and she goes to some of the Jewish Messianic congregations there in Texas. She's actually a very good teacher. She's so inspiring, and what I like so much about Shelley is she bubbles with joy. If you ever seen her periscopes, I watch them sometimes 2 and 3 in the morning. And, you know, I'm half awake, half asleep, but I when I watch these periscope events and she starts teaching, I wake up real quick. You can't help but to love this girl because I don't care what you're going through, what struggle you're happening in your life, she brings that wonderful joy and just rips that veil away from you. And that's why I asked Shelley to teach today. Because the name of my program is The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. And hope is what my Iranian friends need. They need the message of hope. They need the message of freedom. And this is why I've asked Shelley to be a teacher this morning. Last time she was on, she shared from the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon is an intimate love story. I want to welcome right now to you and bring to you a very special friend, Shelley Singh. Hello, and good morning, and welcome to the Cross in the Desert, Shelley.
Good morning, Randy. How are you today?
Well, I just spent the last 2 minutes introducing you and reading your bio and talking to our listeners, your background. You are very multicultural. And before you get started teaching this morning, please refresh us with your background and tell our audience a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, my background is interesting. I grew up as a Sikh in Canada, and I discovered the love and hope through a Jewish Messiah named Lord Jesus Christ. When I did, my life changed. I was transformed, and I received full physical healing in my body as well.
Amazing, amazing. You're very multicultural, and you have such a profound way of bringing joy and hope into people's lives, Shelley. This morning on The Cross in the Desert, I featured two stories of two young Iranian girls that found hope in Jesus. And they found that when they read the Bible, Shelley, they saw a Jesus who loved women, who showed compassion and respect and brought hope to them. And so you have a message this morning that my Iranian friends, that my Muslim friends desperately need to hear. Tell us a little bit about how hope can change lives, and then I'm going to let you teach.
Yes. Hope is something that we all need. Hope is something that we all crave, and we can only receive hope from the giver of hope, who is the God of hope, Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what your Iranian friends were referring to, and that's the same God I found hope in, because I was broken, I was depressed, I was anxious, and I had many, many mental issues like confusion and things that would not be normal for somebody who was a healthcare professional dealing with patients clinically on a daily basis. But he broke through my brokenness, and he pulled me out of that, and he gave me joy and hope from my hopelessness.
Well, this is an important message, Shelley, and I want you to take your time and don't worry about time constraints. I want you to spend the time talking to Iranians this morning who recently this weekend voted in an election that will not change their circumstances. They need hope. They need freedom. And so I want to welcome right now to the Cross in the Desert my dear friend Shelley Singh. Please have your Bibles handy, but more importantly, have a listening ear and heart. She is going to teach us for the next 20 minutes on the subject of hope and the God of hope and new beginnings. So have at it, Shelley.
Thank you, Randy. I welcome all my friends who are listening today, and especially my Iranian friends. I want to talk to you about hope today because this is something that we all need. And in Farsi, hope is arzu, which is the same as actually Hindi and Urdu. And hope in the other languages, as you may have heard of before, hope is umid, hope is as, hope is amal in Arabic, hope is tikva in Hebrew. What is hope? What is hope? Why does everybody need hope? Why do we crave hope? Hope is that wish for something to be fulfilled, that expectation for the fulfillment of something that we're waiting for. It's that spark that can start a fire. And all of us crave it. Where do we get it from? We can only get it from one place. We can't find it in other human beings. We can't find it in our education. We can't find it in our family. We can get words of encouragement, but ultimately our hearts are longing for something beyond this world, something that is in eternity, something that can only be fulfilled when we fix our eyes on things above. So I'm going to quickly just read a verse. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So the key point here is to actually wait on the Lord. We're not waiting on man. For my Iranian friends, waiting on the Iranian government or the elections, it will not give you hope. We have to put our trust in the Lord, who is in charge. He's in charge of the leaders of all the countries, and he has that gift of hope that we can pray. We can pray for our leaders. We can pray for our Iranian friends. We can pray for people with broken hearts today, for marriages to be restored, because I have seen it happen. There's so many testimonies of healing, of deliverance, of new lives, restoration, redemption through the one who gives us that hope. So let's talk a little bit about why people give up. Why do people give up? This is a common thing. When you start to lose hope, this is what happens. People start to give up because they feel that things cannot change. But there's a problem with that. There's a problem with that because then you're losing half of the battle, because now your thoughts are thinking that you can't win. Why? Because the human brain is actually hardwired for hope, and so is our heart. So there was a man, and his name was Hal Lindsey, and he once said, "Man can live about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, about 8 minutes without air, but only for 1 second without hope." Wow! So we cannot live without hope, because we are hardwired for hope spiritually and scientifically. So let's ask a fundamental question now. How do we have hope when we can't see anything change? That's so difficult. We look at the Iranian elections and we just look and we look and we see, well, I don't see anything changing. I don't know if I have hope. Well, you do, and you can have hope. Is it possible that hope is unseen? Is it something that we have to actually see with our physical eyes? Or do we need to retrain our brain and change our thoughts to get that spark back, to get that thought back that we can overcome adversity, which we have seen in many, many, many examples throughout the world of difficult cases of people going through difficult times, and they came out better than before when all odds were against them. Let's switch gears and move on to the topic of hope as being an anchor of the soul. This is a spiritual perspective of hope being an anchor of the soul. So hope is steadfast and it's sure. This is good news for us, everyone. This is very good news. We live in a very unstable world right now. We look at the news headlines and we see a lot of chaos. So we need something that's steadfast and sure. So an anchor, what's an anchor? So let's think about an analogy, like a boat. So a boat needs an anchor because it floats on unstable water. Water is unstable. The anchor is passed from the boat through, so it helps the boat through the unstable element of water into the stable element of a rock. Think about this for just a second. So that's how we get stable, is when we get that hope in our mind, and then we use this hope, which is our anchor, through our unstable water or our time of difficulty or chaos that we're going through, or that situation that seems like that's hopeless or that's not going to change. But we get through it because of having hope. Then we get into the rock, which actually the rock is Lord Jesus Christ. He says he's the rock of ages. And that helps us to get into eternity, because he is the truth, the way, and the life, and the only way to reach God our Father in heaven, who is the same for all of us. And that tells us that hope is our security. That is the security we've been looking for. We don't find hope in social security. We don't find hope in government assistance. Those are all practical things available in this world that we need, but that's not where our hope comes from. Our hope doesn't come from people or leaders, because they fail us. Our hope comes from the God of hope, Lord Jesus Christ. Hope also is a helmet. So when we put on hope on our head, now our mind is protected. It is protected. This is great news. We can actually choose to protect our mind. We have a choice in this. We have a role in this. We're playing the key part. This is wonderful. This tells us that all hope is not lost, that we're playing a part in changing our lives. by retraining our brain, by focusing on things that we cannot see, because in life you can't anticipate things. We are not promised tomorrow, are we? We only have today, and we have to start with today. We don't know what tomorrow is going to look like, but we know that if we start with today with hope, it's going to be a good day. We got to work with what we have, and that's what we have. So there is hope in front of me. There is hope in front of you, my dear Iranian friends, and all my friends who are listening today. I want to encourage you that hope is there. Hold on to hope. And don't give up in whatever your situation is. So hope is a choice. That's what we're talking about right now. It's a choice regardless of what we see. We must put on hope every day. This is a spiritual covering when we do this, when we put it in our minds. It's actually a spiritual and a scientific thing. It's a choice. And then we will start to see the physical changes or the manifestations of joy, of resilience during adversity or troubled times. That's how Olympic athletes worked. That's how people like the survivors in the Nazi camps, the people like Nadia Murad, the Yazidi sex slave survivor who's going all around the world right now telling people her story and saying, never give up. Why? She went through a very difficult time. She lost her mother, and she was a rape victim over and over, and that is such a hopeless situation. But now, because of her courage and her boldness and her ability to speak out through her brokenness into other lives, she is bringing light and hope to a dying world. So we need to listen to her and to other people that we should never give up. Never, never, never. Choose today to not give up. Now, when we put on hope spiritually, that is sort of like putting on your clothes physically. You put on clothes every day. You don't say, oh, I got bored, I don't want to do it anymore. No, you got to do it again. So you do it again spiritually by renewing your mind and fixing your mind on Him in the morning. Just thank Him. Thank Him for what you have already, what He's given you. Thank Him for things that you don't even see yet. You don't need to see it yet before it happens. You know you're going to get a paycheck one day, but you don't know, you don't see it in your account yet. The process has begun. So when you start to praise our Lord and Father, then things start to change in your environment and you will start to feel a joy everlasting and your soul will rejoice because it's connected with the one who gave you the hope. Your spirit is praising the one by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who is with you, who will comfort you during this troubled time. And even though you don't have all the answers, that's okay. You don't need to. We think we need to, but we actually do not always need to have all the answers. We just need to know the one who does and put our hope in Him, and He will fill you up with more hope. He will fill you up with more joy to move forward in the right direction. So there's a beautiful verse in Psalm 30. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. So there's many times where you have difficult days and you don't want to talk about anything and you're just in a slump. But realize this, that even if you've been having that time and feeling like this is really, really hopeless, oh, no, you don't understand what I'm going through. You know, my child is into drugs and she's not coming home, or my husband left me and I have no hope for my marriage. Well, yes, you do. Do not give up on people. You never know who can change. You can never know who can turn around. God did not give up on us, on any of us. And we all have hope to change. There's always hope for redemption. There's always hope for second, but you just can't give up. If you give up, you won't see the fruit of change. Fruit of change will only come if you hold on to hope. And remember, hope is the anchor of your soul. It will keep you anchored to the rock of ages, Lord Jesus Christ. And so joy comes in the morning. It always comes in the morning. So just like the sun sets in the evening, it has to rise again. That's the cycle of life. It's not going to change. It's always going to be like that. So if you had a very difficult evening, that's okay. It's a new day. It's a fresh day. Wake up with a clean slate and start again, because he is with you. And it may not be perfect, and that's okay. But that's what we have. We have today. We're not promised tomorrow. So we take the helmet of salvation, the helmet of hope, and we decide, okay, we're going to put it on. We're going to cover our mind. We're going to perfect and protect our thoughts and keep our thoughts under control and keep our thoughts in line with the Word of God. That's how we will discover and rediscover hope from a hopeless situation, and we will receive joy everlasting. This is a very key point. You don't just get joy just like that. You get joy not from your circumstances. There's happiness that is temporary. That's when, you know, you win something, or you got a great job and it sounds great for a week, and now you don't like your employer anymore. Happiness will change. It's based on circumstances, but joy remains. It remains through the difficult times. You might have noticed some happy people who believe in God or have the love of God, and you look at them and say, well, she's going through a very difficult time. She just had a miscarriage, but she's encouraging her neighbor. How wonderful. I wonder where she gets that joy from. Well, that joy comes from hope. They're a byproduct of each other. They work together. And let's switch gears just a little bit. I want to come back to the science of hope. Why? Because this is all working together. Hope affects us in so many ways. It affects us physically and spiritually, and whatever affects us spiritually will affect us physically afterwards. So spiritual things are always above, and physical is a manifestation of the spiritual realm. So hope tells our brain to think, to plan, to create, to evolve. Well, what does this mean? When things are looking bleak and grim and everything is sad and it looks like things are not going to change, well, if we give up and we are hopeless, are we actually going to plan to make things change? No, we're not. We're going to just give up, and we're going to sit there in despair, and we're going to be sad. Well, being sad will not change the situation. It will just be sad and a bad situation. So how do we get out of it? We got to have hope. And once we start having hope, our brain starts to fire differently, and now we know that we can start planning for change. So when you plan for change, that changes your brain, and it gives you a higher structure of reasoning, and that sense of being alive comes back. Oh, wow, think about this again. So when we worship the Lord and Creator, our senses are heightened. That means we can smell flowers again. That means we can notice the sun shining again. That means we can see the sky. It's blue, and we can appreciate it. We can enjoy a cup of coffee or tea with our loved one, and that can be our joy for the day. We can cherish the little moments because we have hope and we have joy. We have that spark again. We have that sense of being alive again. It will come back. Some days you may feel numb from the pain, from the crying, from the tears. That's okay. He loves you, and he holds your tears in the bottle. He hasn't forgotten those hard days for you, but he's with you. And you may not feel or you may not know it because it's so much overwhelming pain, but hope brings you out. Hope is a beacon of light. Hope will pull you out of your hopelessness and put your feet upon the rock again. And that will be your steadfast security that you need to go forward into eternity and into his arms of love and embrace that will keep you forever with him. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is only found in hope. I want to read one scripture, Romans 15:13. This is a beautiful prayer verse for all of us, and it's a great reminder for us to remember who the God of hope is and to keep our minds and thoughts fixed on him, because by doing that, that's how we move forward in life, and that's how we get that joy, okay? So Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. It's not a little joy. It's not joy once in a while. It's all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope, that you may abound. Well, you have a choice. He's giving you a choice because God is a gentleman. He's romancing you. He's singing to you, oh, I love you, my child, again and again and again. But he's giving you a hope. Please hold on to hope because he's giving you free will, right? So you have a choice. Hold on to hope. I encourage you today, hold on to hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the one who is comforting you and whispering to you to hold on. Don't hold on to these negative feelings of despair because it will not move you forward to healing. The only thing that's going to move you to healing is hope. And remember Nadia Murad's words, never give up. And another famous person that you may know of is Christopher Reeve. He also said that once you choose hope, anything is possible. Wow, anything is possible. Well, that sounds great. And this is somebody who had been through a very difficult accident. He had had to go into a wheelchair post-accident. And so because of that, he had a lot of difficult days. But he's encouraging us, too, and saying that anything is possible. And science and research supports this, too. When you decide not to give up, your body starts to heal in multiple ways versus people who give up. So don't give up because hope can change everything. It's a breath. It's a small breath that can give you life. And it can reach into your darkest days, into those broken places, the broken places that you did not think could be healed. He's going to heal those for you today with his love and his hope. Because blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. So hope in the Lord. Don't hope in people. Pray for people. Learn about what's going around you because you need to be aware. But hold on to that arzu. Arzu will get you through things. It will get you through things. And once you have arzu, wow, now you can actually give it to somebody else because there's more people.
Wonderful,
than
wonderful.
You.
Wonderful, Shelley. I have sat here and just soaked up what you said like a sponge, and I love the way that you correlate the scientific data. The author, Carolyn, who shows us the way we think shapes our lives and the way that you link together hope with joy. It is beautiful. Now, what are your concluding thoughts? Let's have some concluding thoughts and a final prayer, okay?
Yes, that sounds great. So our concluding thought is life is not always good. This is the reality of a fallen world. This is a reality of a changing world that's changing so fast in front of us. So because life is not always good, what do? We got to retrain our thoughts. We got to focus again. And we got to trust in the God of hope. So when things break apart or things fall apart, struggle will exist, but don't doubt him. Hold on to him. He has not forgotten you. He has not forsaken you. Let not your heart be troubled, the Lord says. And in Psalm 39, verse 7, and now, Lord, what do I wait for? But my hope is in you. Trust in him. Believe his word. Read the word. Memorize it. Speak it. Because eternity is real, my friends. And we have a hope of a place that all our tears will be forgotten because we will be with the one who gave us hope and gives us hope today. You are loved. Just remember that. So I just pray. Just pray for all of you today and my Iranian friends that all of you be filled with a renewed sense of hope, joy everlasting in your heart today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Shelley, because you can teach this because you've lived through it. You've seen the God of hope break through your darkness and shine the light of his grace in your lives. And so when I hear you teach, and I know what you're saying, it's because you've been there. You've been at the edge of the cliff, and his hand of love has held you up with hope.
Yes, multiple times and every day. We need it every day.
How can my good friends get in touch with you?
They can email me at sandeepsinghaud@yahoo.com. They can message me through Facebook. I have two Facebook ministry pages. One is Sing with Doy, and the other one is Dr. Shelley Singh, SHELLEYSINGH. And I have a few YouTube videos on Sing with Joy, and I'm also on Twitter. So I am trying to increase my social media presence slowly, and I am available for prayer requests. So if any of you feel like you're going through a hopeless time and you don't feel comfortable talking to anybody, feel free to shoot me an email, and I'll start praying and agreeing for your life and your loved ones as well.
I also see you on Periscope. Don't forget Periscope. We'll always see your good videos up on the page, too.
Yes, I'm on Periscope as well.
Well, today I have been so encouraged, and I hope that our listeners have been encouraged, that hope is that anchor. And I love the quote you mentioned about how, Lindsay, we can go without food and water, but we can't live a second without hope. So very true.
Very, very true.
Well, God bless you, dear Shelley Singh, and please come back and be a guest on The Cross in the Desert and teach us God's Word. You have been such a blessing, and you really do have hope and joy written all over your teaching. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy. Thank you again for having me, and thank you for praying for my Iranian friends and family. I really enjoy your show, and thank you for everything that you do. Have a lovely day.
God bless you, Shelley Singh. It's just a tremendous joy to have a friend like that, because she's lived it, she's experienced it, and she's well qualified to teach it today. It's been a joy to have Shelley on a program. I want to introduce to you an incredible Christian worship artist, and I want to talk a little bit about her. Her name is Misty Edwards. She's been a worship leader and songwriter at the International House of Prayer since its inception back in September 1999, and she is currently on the leadership team. Misty is committed to pursuing the Lord by living in obedience to basic scriptural principles. My focus is to go deep in Scripture, to live out the first and great commandment, to love God wholeheartedly, which leads to Jesus' second commandment, to love others as ourselves, stay faithful in the place of prayer, fast more, give more, and live the Sermon on the Mount lifestyle to the highest degree, even in my weakness, says Misty Edwards. She has been actively writing songs since she was a teenager and continues to grow in this art while encouraging others to do the same. Misty says, "I write songs by looking right at Jesus from my heart and actually singing to a real person who is listening and moving at the sound of my voice," Misty says. Through worship, leading at conference, and her faithful years of leading in the prayer room, which is at IHOP, International House of Prayer, at Stream 24/7 Live around the world, Misty's music has impacted thousands. She desires that in worship, believers would encounter Jesus intimately. She says, "I pray that the songs I write would bring people not only into an intellectual understanding, but a true heart connect with God, who is bending over the balcony of heaven, listening to them singing words that move him and impact him." One of Misty's passions is to see singers and songwriters fulfill their role as forerunners by bringing a message concerning God's personality and the return of his son. She believes God is raising up musical prophetic theologians who will write songs like King David, declaring the knowledge of knowing the times and the seasons that we live in. She believes music is, quote, the most powerful way to get a room of people to join together with one heart, one mind, and one voice. When songwriters write songs after God's heart, Misty says, it will cause a corporate people to believe or agree with the Lord, which will usher in his presence and prepare his bride for the great and terrible things that are about to come on the earth. This is an amazing lady, and I wish I had the time to feature all of her songs, but I have picked out three that I think speaks the word very powerfully what she's saying. I want you to hear this first song. It's a quote from the Song of Solomon, which Shelley Singh taught on last time. "You won't relent." I want you to hear this. Most importantly, hear the heart and passion of Misty Edwards on the sound check this morning.
You're the one we want, Jesus. You are the beautiful one, the glorious one, the magnificent one. You are our obsession. You and you alone, Jesus. So come and fan the flame of passion. We can't even love you unless you help us. That when we close our eyes, oh God, we could feel love for you. Come and fan this flame, oh God.
You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave. And many waters cannot quench this love.
You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours.
Jesus, I'm yours. Talk
you
to him.
Won't relent until you have it all.
The Lord will not let go
my heart
until he has all of us.
I'll set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave. Yeah.
be the fire inside of me, come be the flame inside my heart. Misty Edwards, just a powerful song based on Solomon, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 4. I think verse 6, set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy is fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Nobody can do it better like her because she is so connected with the Lord in her worship music. But I don't want you to hear me. I want you to hear her. This is a song that will motivate you, especially if your cravings have gotten low. So this is Misty Edwards on the sound check with I Will Run.
All I want is you. All
Misty Edwards with a powerful, powerful rock ballad about craving for God. It's called I Will Run. I've never had a chance to see her minister and worship live. I'm hoping to do that because the International House of Prayer, and where Misty ministers a lot, is right here in Kansas City. It's about 300-plus miles away. Maybe one day we'll get to see that because she has a powerful ministry. And this next song is incredible. You have to hear it to believe it. It's called People Get Ready. Here is Misty Edwards once again with her final song on the soundcheck.
I've been pleading for the nation.
Jesse Edwards on the sound check. That is Wake Up the Dead music, because if you're not awake by now and not motivated by now, then there is not very much hope for you. Today on the cross in the desert, we have been taught what the Bible teaches about hope and how hope is the anchor for our soul. And as I listen to the words and the music, wow, of Missy Edwards about the return of Christ, I want to take you to Revelation chapter 19. In the final minutes today, and I want you to hear what Misty was singing about. This is not just some emotional experience that we go home and nothing changes. This motivates us. When you see the events in our world today crying out for hope, they're looking for answers, most of them looking for hope and truth in all of the wrong places, in the places that will steal their souls for eternity, that will deceive their minds and hearts and give them a false hope. There is a false hope in the world. It's built on sinking sand. Jesus said, if you want true hope, to bring your life to me, anchor it on my foundation, because all other ground is sinking sand. As Misty was singing about Jesus' return, I want to take you now to Revelation chapter 19. The Apostle John records this dynamic, incredible vision of Christ. He says, then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, and followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title: King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Where is your hope today? The presidential candidates are a good example. Well-meaning, many of them have the whole purpose of making America great again. Many of them are constitutional lawyers that care about our country, that have a vision of a new America, a stronger America, less dominated by government and liberalism. They have good ideas, but the scripture says very clearly, and it warns us, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. Does that mean don't go out and vote? Of course not. It simply means the very best of well-intentioned candidates in an election, our hope is not in them. It's in the God of all hope, the God who will bring swift justice to all evil in the world, whose name is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the only true foundation of hope. It says of Jesus, his robe was dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. His robe dipped in blood means that he took your wrath. He took our punishment. He took all accusations and all sins that we had, and he cleansed them. He took them out of the way. His robe dipped in blood means a holy sacrifice for our salvation. What it means very clearly is that the perfect Lamb of God that came at Passover time, in the Jewish time of Passover, it was thought of the Lamb that he had to be perfect in every way. But this Lamb is the true Passover Lamb, the true Passover Lamb who not only was broken for our sin, but rose again. If you have a chance, go see the movie Risen. It's the story of a Roman centurion who searches, who asks the disciples questions. He wants to know what happened to the body of Jesus. He's interested. And at first he's out to disprove it all as a myth and a fable. But let me tell you what, the resurrection is not a myth or a fable. It was a true event that changed the world over 2,000 years ago. This is the Jesus whose robe was dipped in blood, whose name is the Word of God, who out of his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, who speaks the word. It's the most powerful word in the universe because he's the most powerful, loving being in the universe. He is King of all kings and Lord of all lords. So my question this morning is, where is your hope? If your hope is focused solely on the candidates for presidency, then it's a false hope. That hope is sinking sand. It will disappoint you. If your hope is in a religion, if your hope is in perfecting yourself and making yourself acceptable to God, it is a false hope. It will disappoint you. It will destroy your soul for all eternity. But if your hope is in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then your hope is like an anchor. Shelley says that boat that drifts on the water, if it doesn't have an anchor, will drift aimlessly. Michelle, my Iranian friend, Samira, searched aimlessly until they found Jesus. You heard their stories this morning. When they found Jesus doesn't mean that all of their problems magically disappeared. Oh, no. But it means that their soul had found the true anchor, that their life was fixed in hope and entrenched in peace. And when the storms and when the challenges and the trials hit your boat, the anchor holds in the storm. When the wind and the waves attack your foundation, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will lift you out of the storm and help you to fly through the eye of the hurricane. That is our God of hope. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And this morning, he reaches out to you with his arms of love and invites you to rest in his hope, to find peace in him. I really, really want to thank my dear friends in the chat room this morning. Patricia, praying for your neck, praying for your situation. Kelly, always loving and praying for you. A tremendous, tremendous Blog Talk Radio host. And Mary, thank you so much for coming by again. All of you are near and dear to my hearts. And thank you so much for investing time and spending time here in the Cross in the Desert, and especially praying for my Iranian friends. This is the Cross in the Desert. We are speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I will see you in about a week and a half on the next Cross in the Desert. God bless you. Have a great week.
Oh, glory, glory.